Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning.
I get a hot tea.
Good morning and welcome to Mornings on Main Street for this Friday, the 12th of April. I'm your host, Stephanie Miller. Thanks for stopping by. Coming up, I get to share with you the work being done by the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation. We'll hear how this foundation is working to strengthen early literacy in Tennessee and also encourage youngsters to be lifelong learners. Also this morning, you'll hear from award-winning author and storyteller Carmen Agra Didi. She was the keynote speaker at the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation dinner. She has some wise words for us this morning. And then we head to Clarksville, and I get to highlight for you how the Customs House Museum is highlighting Month of the Military Child. You'll see some precious artwork that's up at the museum right now. Following that, I have all the details that you need for the Earth Day celebration coming up on April 20th at Centennial Park in Nashville. We'll hear from the Centennial Park Conservancy as well as the nonprofit they're partnered with for this big event. Let me tell you, get it on your calendar. It is free for everyone to attend. You'll find more than 100 vendors at the Earth Day event coming up on April 20th. So get your maybe pen and paper ready so you can jot down some notes during that, because I know you're going to want to treat yourself to the day there at Centennial Park. Following that, Catherine Mayhew takes us to Patty's during our Let's Eat segment. She always has the best places for us to eat at. And then to round out our show today, we learn about Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet coming to TPAC on the 20th and 21st of the month. We'll hear from the artistic director and CEO of the Nashville Ballet and can't wait for that sit down with him to share, of course, with all of you. But first, let's get a check of the weather and see what is in store for all of us this coming up weekend.
From the Tennessee Valley Weather Channel, this is your weather on Main Street.
Happy Friday. I'm Kelly Rawson here in the Tennessee Valley Weather Center. The gloomy weather is finally a thing of the past, and we have nothing but sunshine left for us today, even for much of the weekend. Temperature is going to be starting off kind of chilly for today into the upper 40s to lower 50s, but by the time we get to the afternoon, we will be back into the 60s with a little breeze out of the north, so it may be feeling a little bit chilly out there, but overall plenty of sunshine for southern middle Tennessee, and we maintain a clear and calm sky for the rest of the evening and into the overnight as temperatures get down into the lower 40s to start off your Saturday. We'll see a few clouds here and there on Saturday, but overall, we are going to be mainly dry for the entire weekend. Check out your weekend forecast. A mostly sunny to partly cloudy sky for each day. Can't rule out a stray shower on Sunday, but still not looking that great in terms of rain chances. So we are going to have a fantastic weekend in store as temperatures go from the 60s into the upper 70s, close to 80 degrees by Sunday, and we should surpass that mark heading into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Unfortunately, looks a little bit unsettled, but a small chance of some isolated thunder showers is all we have to worry about for next week.
I'm so happy to talk about books getting into the hands of children. For 20 years, the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation has been doing this here in the state of Tennessee. To talk to us more about it, we have the president and CEO of the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation, Mr. James Pond. First off, Mr. Pond, thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
20 years is a long time to make sure that kids are able to have the books to read, to educate, to, again, literacy is incredibly important. Yeah. What, tell me, the heart of this foundation, what do you guys work on every day?
Yeah. The heart of our foundation is making sure that every child has the resources, mm-hmm. guidance, and support they need to become lifelong learners. And we do that by putting hands in the hands of families. Home libraries have a massive import to a child's ability to become a proficient reader, mm-hmm. and to become a critical thinker, mm-hmm. And to become a lifelong learner. And we know that that exposure to books has a profound impact on children. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that every child in the state of Tennessee has a 100-book library. There's been significant research that shows that a 100-book library gives a child a 214% chance of graduating from high school over his peers that do not. So it has, literacy is important. Mm-hmm. It has health implications. Mm-hmm. It means that, you know, think about how fast Tennessee is growing, the number of jobs coming into our state, and we do not have a ready workforce. Literacy ensures that we have an educated and ready workforce for the jobs of the future, not the jobs that are available today.
I have to go ahead and ask you, what are parents saying to you that are, you know, seeing these books, seeing their kids read? What are they saying?
We get an enthusiastic response from parents because it's a surprise. You know, if you're in the Imagination Library, every month a book is coming in the mail. As kids get older, they get to go to that mailbox and it's their book. When they get to kindergarten through third grade, it's different. In the summer, they get this passport. It's got a stack of books in there with resources. And they get this excitement of, what am I going to be reading over the summer? Mm-hmm. And parents, I think, love that. We've got kids that are spending way too much time on devices, way too much time in front of computers and television screens. This is getting them back to the roots of what their brains are developing to do, which is to learn and become critical thinkers.
Well, talk to us now about the dinner that's happening right now, which is where we are. Yeah. Your foundation dinner to highlight the work that's being done and just how important donation dollars are.
Yeah. So this is not a fundraiser. This is a celebration. What we love about this dinner is this is bringing together all the people that contribute to our work, participate in our work, our partners around our work. And so this is an opportunity to just have fun together. We're going to share what we've been up to this last year. Mm-hmm. And we're going to share how people have made an impact on children and families across the state. We're going to celebrate 10 very deserving young people that are winning scholarships this evening as a result of their overcoming significant challenges and becoming a proficient reader.
Could you do what you do without your partnerships?
No, not a chance. Organizations like Delta Dental have been there from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So 20 years ago, three organizations were legacy supporters, and it was Delta Dental, Dollar General Literacy Foundation, and Nissan. And some of them were at the table as this foundation was being formed. They were giving their insight into how valuable this could be. And here we are 20 years later, doing so much more than could ever have been imagined.
For those watching this, if they would like to maybe get into a partnership with you, is that
possible? Oh, by all means. If they go to governorsfoundation.org, go to the contact form, we will make sure that someone gets in touch with them and we can figure out what that partnership looked like, mm-hmm. whether it's an individual that wants to support the work or it's someone who wants to be more involved or someone who's doing early literacy work that would like to partner with us and collaborate on making a difference.
Fantastic. Mr. Pond, talk to us about the programs that you guys offer.
Oh, my gosh. So we offer six major programs and six special initiatives. Mm-hmm. So our programs from birth on. So birth to five, we offer Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, mm-hmm. which is a book a month from the time a child is born until they turn five. We do our kindergarten through third grade summer home library program. And so that is six books that are delivered every summer from kindergarten through third grade mm-hmm. that child will receive, along with parent resources, a parent guide to help parents learn how to interact with their children around those reading resources. We do a caregiver engagement program that's really providing great information to parents three times a week that's relevant, doesn't require any resources, but helps them in their reading and learning journey.
Okay.
And then we have a statewide collaborative that is bringing all of our partnerships together throughout the year so that we are rowing together in the same direction on literacy. And then we run a program where we do seed grant funding for book buses, which are basically mobile libraries, mm-hmm. and then storybook trails, which are outdoor reading experiences that really help connect families with being outdoors, doing something healthy, uh-huh. and connecting around a book. And then we've got special programs that are really reaching into underserved populations across our state. So we're launching our first Latino Community Project, which is a book program for kindergarten through fourth grade students in our Spanish-speaking community. We'll be launching a pilot in Knoxville. And that is to provide additional supports for our English language learners that really need them. So things like that are where we're leaning.
Okay.
And the future looks like looking at artificial intelligence and technologies that will help us really guide the future of how we can help children become more proficient and literate.
You are changing these little ones' lives. We're changing and making so much possible by putting books in their hands. Any final thoughts, anything I haven't asked that you would want people to know or final words?
You know, one of the things I would say to folks is make literacy and reading a part of your family culture.
Okay.
Bring books into your home. As your children, if they are watching you read, they will want to read. Read together. Read with your children. And make books a part of the culture of your family. It'll change the way that life looks and the way your family functions.
I would like to thank Mr. Pond once again for giving me his time. It was a treat to learn all that I did about the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation. Serving as keynote speaker for the dinner was Carmen Agarit Didi. She's an award-winning author and storyteller, and she happens to be a dear friend of Mr. Pond. I was able to catch up with her at the end of the night, so this morning we get to hear just a little bit of what she shared with the crowd that evening.
I told the story of my father's own illiteracy. He learned to read at 14, as I told tonight in the story. The part I didn't share is that I'm also dyslexic. And I suspect my father may have been, although just like I did, there was no one to assess us and to help us, and so you forged ahead. He had a teacher who was a very cantankerous baker, and I had a librarian in the South who was also I wouldn't say she was ill-tempered, but she was crusty. And, you know, if you don't want to read, there's nothing I can do. But if you want to soldier on, I have a marvelous book for you. And she was always hooking me. And I know she did other children as well. I thought I was the only child, of course. But with the most amazing titles. And, you know, back then we didn't have what we call now windows and doors and so forth. In other words, finding yourself in the literature. But for me, the great stories were the ones that inspired me. And she gave me a little girl, Charlotte's Web, and that changed my life. That pig, that some pig, and that stinker Templeton, oh, and Fern. When I got through that one, she then gave me Tom Sawyer, which begins with, "Tom, where is that boy?" And which was my childhood. Only, "¿Dónde está esa niña, por favor?" I support literacy in places where I believe the real work is being done. The boots on the ground work, and that's what the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation does. And the people that I've met here, they are committed. This is not a career, it's a calling. As the older you get, life humbles you. I have no messianic calling. I try not to write didactic books. At the same time, I want the children to walk away feeling they've learned something about the world and the people in it and how we should be with one another. If they take that away, and if for just a little while, children, especially the ones who have challenging lives, find sanctuary in a story, I feel like I've done a little bit of good.
Also that evening, 10 third graders were recognized as literacy leaders. The third graders were nominated by their specific teachers. And let me tell you, those little ones have such a bright future. Now, coming up next Friday, you'll get to hear from one of the third graders, a young student from Shelby County. His name is Mason, and I cannot wait for you to hear from him, but that'll be coming up for you next week. Stick with us. We have more coming up after this.
Nashville Sounds Baseball is back in Hit City for the 2024 season. Spend your nights and weekends at the ballpark with weekly giveaways, fireworks shows, throwback deals, live music, and more. Top talent will take the field at First Horizon Park against the AAA Minnesota Twins, Baltimore Orioles, Atlanta Braves, St. Louis Cardinals, Cincinnati Reds, and more. Tickets start at just $10 and are available now at NashvilleSounds.com. We will see you in Hit City.
Complete Service Heat and Air is a trusted provider of top-notch heating and cooling solutions dedicated to ensuring optimal comfort and efficiency for residential and commercial spaces. Complete Service Heat and Air is located in White Bluff, Tennessee. We do service and repair on heating and air the right way 24/7 service. Call us at 615-797-3997. Serving Cheatham, Davidson, Dixon, Hickman, Humphreys, Montgomery, and Williamson counties. At Fred's Flooring, we're your source for quality flooring options. Our extensive experience and knowledge in the industry means we have the expertise to get the job done right. From carpet to tile, hardwood to laminate, and luxury vinyl, we have everything you need to find the perfect floor for your home. As the Main Street Award Favorite Floor Store winner for 2023, we know what it takes to satisfy our customers. And with our convenient financing options, you can get your dream floors now and pay over time. Visit fredsfloors.com or call us today.
Main Street Sports Today strives to bring you the most timely and comprehensive coverage of sports news and more from Middle Tennessee and beyond.
We cover the teams you care about from preps to pros and bring some of the most influential voices in sports to keep you in the know.
Tune into Main Street Sports Today each Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Download the Main Street Media TV app.
This recent gathering was to recognize a Kids Place, a child advocacy center in Giles County, and April as Child Abuse Prevention Month. Kids Place Executive Director encouraged local businesses and organizations to purchase and display signs and pinwheels to support Kids Place and the fight against child abuse. Kids Place helps children overcome the trauma of abuse and avoid the long-term psychological, emotional, social, and physical problems that victims experience. Visit Main Street Media's Pulaski Citizen to read the other community servants recognized at this reading.
We head now to the Customs House Museum in Clarksville to learn about the month of the military child and the art show up right now. We hear from USO Director Ann Jarvis and her mom, who happens to be the education associate there at Customs House Museum. Their collaboration on this is just wonderful.
It's exciting. It's our second annual military kid art show with the Customs House Museum and Cultural Center. So USO and the Customs House got together and said, let's do something fun for Month of Military Child. And we came up with an art show. We worked together and thought about it last year and pulled one together. And
yeah,
it was
great. It's been a lot of fun. And it's nice because the kids get excited about having their artwork hanging in a museum.
Yeah, that's very exciting for them.
Yeah, last year was a mom with their little kids, and she had a boy and a girl, and they went over and they were taking pictures, and they said, okay, now say hi to Dad, because she was going to send it, the artwork with a picture of them with their artwork, and send it to their deployed dad. And so that was really special to see them do that. You know, when dads aren't there to, or moms aren't there to be directly involved, that they can still share.
This year's been fun, too, because we actually put a theme to it. What does it mean to be a military child? Last year was an open forum, so we saw a lot of different forms of artwork.
Yeah.
But this year, we really get to see a lot of different examples of what it meant for kids to be military kids.
And
what do they experience as a military kid?
And one of the really nice ones this year, there's so many nice ones, but these kids are so proud of their parents. I love the one with the over
photograph.
Here with the photograph where the little girl is writing a letter to her dad.
It looks like she's FaceTiming him. So he must be far away. That she's FaceTiming and she's writing a letter to him.
These kids are so amazing. They've done things that so many other people don't get to do. We had one of the schools from Fort Campbell came for a field trip, and I was talking to them about, you know, what it meant to them to be a military kid, because they were all military kids. And I said, so how many places have you lived? And they were all so excited to tell me all the different installations they've been on, all the countries they've been to. And then I said, so what's some of your favorite things about being a military kid? And they said, oh my gosh, the food. You get to eat food from everywhere. And another one said, you get to meet new friends all the time. And somebody else said, you just get to experience so many things. And so I was really excited for these kids because they were excited about their lives. And so if we can give them a little bit of feedback, it's worth it.
Something notable to know too is that Month of Military Child, the flower is a dandelion. And that is because as the white dandelion, the poofy one with the pom-pom, as the wind blows, the seeds flow away, and it's kind of a way to say about military kids, right? They bloom where they plant.
Yeah,
they
you get, go
the wind
where you,
takes
you
them
go where you
their
go.
Service member
yeah.
goes, and they can plant their seed and learn. And like my mother said, talk about all the exciting places they get to go because they're military kids and the things they get to try and experience. And if Clarksville is one of those places because they're stationed here at Fort Campbell, that this is a wonderful experience. They get to have their artwork in the museum.
And the color for the month of the military is purple. We have a dandelion on the window over there where the kids can go ahead and military kids can write what it means to be a military kid on that. And we have a dandelion theme going on down in the family art studio, and there will be all month a dandelion craft, and then the one that is for the day that we're doing this, the art show reception, they're going to have one special for military kids.
Thank you, ladies. The Month of the Military Child art show will be up through April 22nd. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
thrive under the lights. A city of performers. Putting on one heck of a show. Headlining night after night. Welcome to Smashville.
Welcome to Grin Doctors, your trusted pediatric dentistry and orthodontics practice. Achieve healthy, beautiful smiles with our expert care. At Grin Doctors, we are committed to your child's oral health and well-being. Trust Grin Doctors, your pediatric dental home for exceptional care. We go above and beyond to ensure the comfort and satisfaction of our young patients. Grin Doctors Kids Dental and Orthodontics is right down the street in Old Hickory, TN. Easy to get to and in your neighborhood.
What separates us from other companies in Tennessee, that's going to be our mission to our customers, is to always improve the quality of life. That's from taking care of your pets to a friendly voice on the phone when you call, to a technician that comes out and he's competent, he's going to solve the problem for you. We're considered a full encompassing service, so we're going to take care of 50 plus different pests, and we'll always have your back.
Sherry's Hope is dedicated to sharing the hope of Christ, protecting the health of our community, and supporting those who are fighting cancer. You can be a champion of hope this season. When you give monthly to Sherry's Hope, you help meet the needs of families in our community as they are battling cancer. Your monthly gift of $10 or more gives hope all year. Together, we can make a difference.
We're looking ahead this morning to Earth Day, which is April 20th, and you have a big Earth Day celebration event happening here at Centennial Park in Nashville. It's a beautiful event. To tell us all about it, we have Jen Ross, who is the Director of Programs and Events here at Centennial Park Conservancy. First off, Jen, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a huge day. Right off the bat, what can people expect from 11 in the morning until 5 in the evening?
It's a huge event, and we're very excited about it. We are going to have a little bit of something for everyone. Mm-hmm. We start out the day with some yoga from Small World Yoga. We're going to have an education tent. The Earth Talks tent is back. We're going to have speakers all day on all kinds of topics, from how to recycle, how to vermicompost with earthworms, how to garden with native plants. It's going to be amazing. We have about 100 vendors who are going to be on site, from nonprofits to artisan vendors. So there's going to be a lot to see.
Yes, and I love that it's engaging for all ages. So families bringing out their little ones, it is engaging.
Yes, we're going to have the Kidsville area too. I almost forgot. Turnip Green Reuse will be there, and our Kidsville program will be there with activities for the kids. And we're also going to have food trucks. So you can come spend the whole day, bring the family, bring the dogs. It's going to be great.
And learn something along the way. Sustainability. Again, you went through so many of the vendors that are going to be here.
Yes.
Why is it important for Centennial Park Conservancy to host this event? Because you guys have taken it over, am I correct?
We did. We took it over in 2020, and it's just such a privilege to be able to usher this event into, you know, now that we're back to having live events and making it bigger and better and having an opportunity to support all the wonderful people and nonprofits doing sustainability work in Nashville, including our partners, Urban Green Lab. And the coolest thing about Earth Day is that all of the net proceeds go back into the community through our Nashville Earth Day grant program. So
how does that work?
So everything that we make, it's a free event for the community, but all the net proceeds from our sponsors or anyone who buys a t-shirt, or makes a donation that day, we will open the grant application after Earth Day, and local nonprofits can apply. Last year, we were able to give $50,000 to 15 nonprofits around the city, and it's pretty amazing to get to support the community in
that money,
a tangible way.
It really, you're right about that, and the money goes a long way for these nonprofits. What was that a reception from the nonprofits as they're getting this funding? What do they say to you guys?
I actually had one woman call me in tears because she didn't believe it was real, and she was so excited, and it just makes me want to well up thinking about it. But you know, it really can make a difference to smaller nonprofits who are doing absolutely crucial work, whether it's building gardens at a school doing water testing in parks around the city. You know, it's important work, and it's a privilege to be able to help them out a little bit.
100%. I encourage you on the Earth Day event day on April 20th, come out, get cards, you know, start talking with those vendors and see either how you can get involved or help or what you can learn through their specific programs. As far as parking here, because I know you don't have all the parking in the world, but what should people know before they come out?
We will have the Walk Bike Nashville Bike Valet. Okay. So if you'd like to bike to the park, they will be right outside the entrance and you'll be able to valet your bike. There is parking on the streets surrounding Centennial Park. We encourage carpooling or walking if you can. There's also public transportation information on our website that will tell you the bus routes that you can take to get to the park.
Fantastic. Jen, is there something about Centennial Park Conservancy that people may not know? And what we may not read on the website?
Oh, goodness. Well, we have a lot of things going on at any given time. Our main goal is to support Centennial Park and the Parthenon. We also have teachers in community centers around the city through our Kidsville program. We have Kidsville at the Parthenon every weekend. We have Musicians Corner coming up. The Kidsville Family Walk is new this year, and that's happening on April 27th. And we have the Kidsville Family Festival back in September.
Fun.
So there's a lot going on.
A lot to look forward to. Thank you so much. Any final thoughts before we let you go?
I just hope everyone comes out on April 20th and has an amazing time in the park.
And once again, April 20th, as just mentioned, 11 to 5 in the evening. You really have a full day of events happening right here at Centennial Park in Nashville. It is free to all of us. So come out, take advantage, and learn a little something along the way. You mentioned Urban Green Lab a little bit ago. We get to hear from them after the commercial break. So stay with us here at Mornings on Main Street. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Omni Nashville Hotel. Urban elegance with a vintage touch. Our 800-room hotel opened up in the fall of 2013 with 746 guest rooms and 54 suites.
Thrive under the lights. A city of performers. Putting on one heck of a show. Headlining night after night. Welcome to Smashville.
Nashville Sounds Baseball is back in Hit City for the 2024 season. Spend your nights and weekends at the ballpark with weekly giveaways, fireworks shows, throwback deals, live music, and more. Top talent will take the field at First Horizon Park against the AAA Minnesota Twins, Baltimore Orioles, Atlanta Braves, St. Louis Cardinals, Cincinnati Reds, and more. Tickets start at just $10 and are available now at NashvilleSounds.com. We will see you in Hit City.
Complete Service Heat and Air is a trusted provider of top-notch heating and cooling solutions dedicated to ensuring optimal comfort and efficiency for residential and commercial spaces. Complete Service Heat and Air is located in White Bluff, Tennessee. We do service and repair on heating and air the right way 24/7. Service call us at 615-797-3997. Serving Cheatham, Davidson, Dixon, Hickman, Humphreys, Montgomery, and Williamson counties.
Fayetteville-based Hammond's Drilling and Blasting is facing numerous judgments against the company for several explosions gone wrong, including the one that damaged Camus boats in Ashland City and injured four of its employees on November 1, 2023. According to the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance Communications Director, due to the danger to human life and private property damage caused by Hammond's violation of state blasting laws, the punishment passed down was one of the most severe issued by the State Fire Marshal's Office. Read more about the conclusion of this investigation by going to MainStreetMediaTN.com. Look for Cheatham County Exchange.
Welcome back to Mornings on Main Street. We just touched on the big Earth Day event happening here at Centennial Park on April 20th. Partnering with the Centennial Park Conservancy, you have Urban Green Lab, and we have the executive director. We have Todd Lawrence with us. First off, Todd, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Before we talk about the partnership that you have with Centennial Conservancy, what is Urban Green Lab?
So Urban Green Lab is a nonprofit. We've been around since 2009, mm-hmm. and we're all about sustainability education. So we want to make sure that all Nashvillians understand how to live a more sustainable life. And to us, that means protecting the planet, but also its people and our prosperity.
And you're seeing the website now from Urban Green Lab on your screen. Walk us through the website and what we can learn there.
Yeah, so if you go to urbangreenlab.org, you can learn how to engage with our programming. And so our programming looks like training teachers. We train teachers how to teach the basics of sustainability in the classroom. We coach workplaces how to make sustainability learning just a part of everyday life in the workplace. You can go and volunteer and be a part of the solution. So there are lots of different ways to engage with our learning programs.
Now, going to the partnership that you have with Centennial Park Conservancy to host this big Earth Day event, what does that mean to Urban Green Lab? Why do you do it?
Well, we're so excited to partner with the Conservancy again. I think the Nashville Earth Day Festival is a great way to inspire Nashvillians how to get involved in this work. Mm-hmm. And no matter how far along you are on your sustainability journey, whether you've been doing it for a long time or you just started, I think you're going to find something to inspire you to take that next step of action at the festival.
Okay.
And so I really feel like this type of partnership with Urban Green Lab and Centennial Park is a great way to show how partners can come together and give people a chance to engage with this type of work.
What type of information will you have here for people maybe to take with them, and are they able to connect with you in the future?
Well, I think if you come to our Urban Green Labs booth, you'll learn about how to get engaged with our work, how to give and support us. But I think more importantly, you'll find a partner and a guide in the community who can help you try to figure out those tricky questions of living more sustainably. And we all have them. I do in my kitchen every day.
Yeah.
I just think that people need to be around other people who care about this type of work so that we can protect our city for generations to come.
Well, I have to ask you to work in this field. Again, you've been the executive director there with them, you said, for 7 years. Where did your love for sustainability and where did that come from? When did that start for you?
Yeah, honestly, I'm new to this.
Okay.
This is very new to me. I think like a lot of Nashvillians, we're all sort of on a different part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my background is in public health, so I spent years in global health work and doing community education, and in places where there's no vaccine or medication to cure a particular disease or problem, and so you really need to lean on education. And I've always found that education really is the place where you begin to take action for some sort of big problem, and I just feel like it's really important time right now to protect our planet.
Oh, you couldn't be more right about that. How has your background helped in your role now?
Well, I think one of the ways is looking for great partners and looking for great people.
Okay.
And that's what we've found with the Centennial Park Conservancy. I think for me, partnerships like this are what make the world go round. And right now in Nashville, we need them more than ever.
So where exactly here in Centennial Park will Urban Green Lab be set up?
Probably right back there. And you can find us. We'll be a lot of happy faces looking to welcome you to our booth. And again, we just really appreciate this opportunity to get the word out about our message. And, you know, Nashville has some big sustainability goals. The only way we're going to accomplish those is if we all work together.
You're right. Any final thoughts from you before we let you leave and go on your day?
A little change goes a long way.
Write that down. Share that. A little change goes a long way. Thank you so much. Todd Lawrence, the executive director with Urban Green Lab. We appreciate your time. And give us your website once more.
Yes, it's urbangreenlab.org.
So easy. Thanks again. Stick with us here at Mornings on Main Street. We'll be right back.
At Fred's Flooring, we're your source for quality flooring options. Our extensive experience and knowledge in the industry means we have the expertise to get the job done right. From carpet to tile, hardwood to laminate and luxury vinyl, we have everything you need to find the perfect floor for your home. As the Main Street Award Favorite Floor Store winner for 2023, we know what it takes to satisfy our customers. And with our convenient financing options, you can get your dream floors now and pay over time. Visit fredsfloors.com or call us today.
We thrive under the lights. A city of performers.
putting on one heck of a show. Headlining night after night. Welcome to Smashville.
Welcome to Grin Doctors, your trusted pediatric dentistry and orthodontics practice. Achieve healthy, beautiful smiles with our expert care. At Grin Doctors, we are committed to your child's oral health and well-being. Trust Grin Doctors, your pediatric dental home for exceptional care. We go above and beyond to ensure the comfort and satisfaction of our young patients. Grin Doctors Kids Dental and Orthodontics is right down the street in Old Hickory, TN. Easy to get to and in your neighborhood.
What separates us from other companies in Tennessee, that's going to be our mission to our customers, is to always improve the quality of life. That's from taking care of your pets to a friendly voice on the phone when you call, to a technician that comes out and he's competent, he's going to solve the problem for you. We're considered a full encompassing service, so we're going to take care of 50 plus different pests, and we'll always have your back.
Welcome back to Mornings on Main Street. There is a big question this morning. So is a pub a bar that serves food, or is it a restaurant with a bar? And the person with the answer to this to tell us what they say at Lost Patty. We have Catherine Mayhew, our food columnist and writer, to share with us what they say there at that location, because I don't know which to call it yet. A pub with a bar, a restaurant with a... What do they say?
It's a bar that serves food. It is first and foremost a bar. And the clue is, when you walk in, it takes up nearly half the room, and it's a big room.
Well, I'm sure the Guinness is so good and flowing right off the tap. What is that experience like? What was your experience like?
Well, okay, so obviously soccer, football, as it's called, football on the other side of the pond, is huge. And Lost Patty is, I would call it a sports bar, but it's a sports bar for people who love soccer, pretty okay. much. So what happened when we went there, Manchester United was playing Luton Town, and this is a Manchester United bar. So if you're a Manchester United fan, this is where you go. Everybody was dressed in red. The Guinness was flowing. The Telemore Dew was being taken down in multiple shots. Every time the ball got close to a net, everybody screamed. And I thought it was a lot of fun. It was what I imagined would be the atmosphere of an Irish pub, which I'm about to find out in reality what is an atmosphere, because we're going to Ireland in a few weeks, which is kind of why I wanted to go there. I wanted to see, once we're in Ireland, if this was authentic. But I'm guessing it's pretty authentic, because once again, the owner is from where? Ireland. Okay. So it's Ireland comes to Spence Lane, which is off of Murfreesboro Road.
And this is not something that's uncommon for you, because you've traveled outside of the country. And the last trip was when you went, Mexico?
We went to Mexico, and I have eaten a ton of Mexican food in this town and what I imagine to be authentic. And I was very curious to see if the food in Mexico was significantly different, and it wasn't. If you go to a real authentic Mexican restaurant here in Nashville, you can have the same eating experience without spending the money on a plane ticket. I mean, it's
great to hear.
I know.
The transplants that come in. So what did you order at Lost Patty?
And okay, well, here was the thing that I was really zeroed in on. It's called an Irish breakfast. Uh-huh. There's a British version and a Scotch version also. But what an Irish breakfast is way too much food on a plate. and some things that don't seem to go together. So you start out with Irish sausage, which is very good. It's not spiced the way the sausage is here. It's much more mild. Then you go to what they call rashers, that they would call bacon, but we would call ham. That's just the difference in the cut of the... There's no bacon in Ireland as we know it. Okay. Then you go to the black and white pudding, which is not a pudding. It's more sausage. But it is done in a way, the black pudding is a blood pudding. Don't go yuck. It's delicious. And then the white pudding is the same mix, except there's no blood in it. And they fry it like you'd fry a sausage patty. And they're, I mean, so good. Then you go to the eggs, any way you want them. Then you go to the mushrooms. Why? I don't know. Then you go to the broiled tomatoes, which with all that heaviness kind of lightens the thing up. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there's toast. And then finally you go to the what? Baked beans. Of course you want baked beans. And there's a reason behind that too.
I was like, that's random.
It is very random. But the next time you're in a grocery store that has an international section, go look at the British section and you will see cans of particularly Heinz baked beans. And what happened was Heinz saw a market for baked beans in Great Britain during the Industrial Revolution because people couldn't afford meat. And baked beans were a great substitute, protein substitute. So they started shipping over vats of baked beans. Then in World War II, sort of the same thing happened. People had ration books. They couldn't get a lot of meat. So once again, Heinz baked beans made an appearance, and it stuck, and they've never left. And you will never find an Irish, English, or Scottish breakfast without baked beans.
Who knew? I don't think I've ever ordered the Irish breakfast. I've other ordered items, you know, separately, but never the whole thing. Catherine, can't wait to visit Lost Patty on Spence Lane. Sounds incredible. And I want to hear when you get back from your trip how the area compares.
Well, there's a few things we're going to go toe-to-toe. The breakfast is one. The Irish stew is another. Lost Patty serves a great version of it. I mean, a great version of it. And beer cheese soup. Who doesn't love beer cheese? I mean, yeah, right. Done.
Fish and chips too. I love fish and chips.
Yes. Fish and chips is another one. So we'll do a head-to-head comparison and see how we stack up here in Nashville.
If you can just package up some of the stuff over there when you go to Ireland and send it back to us here at Main Street, that'd be great. I don't know how that would work, but do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure fish and chips is going to travel very well.
Catherine, oh, I do hope you enjoy the trip when the time comes. We appreciate you. And Lost Patty, check it out, my friends. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Stick with us here at Mornings on Main Street. I don't know about you, but now I'm ready for fish and chips and a Guinness and maybe an Irish car bomb for another day or another time. Anyway, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Sherry's Hope is dedicated to sharing the hope of Christ, protecting the health of our community, and supporting those who are fighting cancer. You can be a champion of hope this season. When you give monthly to Sherry's Hope, you help meet the needs of families in our community as they are battling cancer. Your monthly gift of $10 or more gives hope all year. Together, we can make a difference.
Welcome to the Omni Nashville Hotel, urban elegance with a vintage touch. Our 800-room hotel opened up in the fall of 2013 with 746 guest rooms and 54 suites.
We thrive under the lights. A city of performers. Putting on one heck of a show. Headlining night after night. Welcome to Smashville.
Nashville Sounds Baseball is back in Hit City for the 2024 season. Spend your nights and weekends at the ballpark with weekly giveaways, fireworks shows, throwback deals, live music, and more. Top talent will take the field at First Horizon Park against the AAA Minnesota Twins, Baltimore Orioles, Atlanta Braves, St. Louis Cardinals, Cincinnati Reds, and more. Tickets start at just $10 and are available now at NashvilleSounds.com. We will see you in Hit City.
Lego enthusiasts, there is an event for you this weekend. The Tennessee Valley Lego Club will host Brick Galaxy Pulaski from 10 to 4 on Saturday at the Pulaski Recreation Center. You're seeing now Pulaski Citizen sports editor Wade Neely and staff writer Chandler Harmon sharing their enthusiasm of building with Legos. Tomorrow's event is meant for children and for adults. Organizers expect to see between 300 and 500 people. Read this article by visiting Main Street Media, TN.com, and scrolling to the Pulaski Citizen.
Welcome back to Mornings on Main Street. I'm excited about this. I know many of you out there are excited as well because we have the highly anticipated production of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet coming back to TPAC in the next few days, the 20th and 21st of this month, to talk to us about Romeo and Juliet and the Nashville Ballet. We are lucky, so lucky to have the artistic director and CEO, Nick Mulliken, with us. Thank you so much for your time.
So happy to be here.
It is. I'm just thrilled. We were able to watch the dress rehearsal. My first question, what is it like for you to watch a dress rehearsal like this of such a production?
Well, it's so nerve-wracking, to be honest with you, because the dancers have put so much energy into making sure that all of their steps are refined, they're putting their characters into it, and then you layer in the costumes on top of it, and it's this whole other apparatus that has to move with them, and it becomes part of the character, so you don't really know how the first dress rehearsal is going to go, which is why we do it in studios, so that we can find and explore those different ways of working within the costumes. Costumes have a life of their own. And it is so exciting to see how they interact with them, except when maybe they don't make their costume changes or anything else that need to happen. So it's a process for us, and this is just one step.
And in this particular dress rehearsal, there's an audience.
Yes.
Does that, what does that do for the dancers, to the ballerinas out there?
Well, I think one of the things that's great about having an audience after you've been rehearsing for so long, and it's in this friendly environment, is it gives them that another level, right, to push themselves just a little bit harder to get a sense of what it would be like out on stage. Because as dancers, as artists, you have your rehearsal speed and then you have your performance speed. And usually your performance speed's 115% of where your rehearsal speed is. You just get excited. It's part of the adrenaline. So when you have that chance here to share with students or audience members what's happening, and it gets that adrenaline rushing and you go, oh, okay, I got a little bit more to go to build my stamina before I'm ready to be out on stage. And so it's such a wonderful, refreshing thing. And then to hear the moves and the odds and to understand also where your character is playing and interacting. It's such a fun chance for people to take a risk or a chance and play with some new ideas. Mm-hmm. That is that we have this opportunity to revisit productions. Our former artistic director, Paul Basterling, who's now our artistic director emeritus, created this work, I think, in 1999. And so it's been around for a long time. The organization's coming up on its fourth season in a couple of years, which is really exciting. What that means is that here in Nashville, we have the chance to watch a company grow. When we get to see the same production, maybe every 5 years, we get to see how the organization itself has changed. And with that, we see the young talent, the new artists tackling roles. We get to see someone like Lily Saito taking on the role of Juliet, which we didn't get to see before. We get to see Jamie Compton take it on. And you get to see Nicholas Schur, who did do it the last time, but we get to watch how his character is evolved. We get to watch how he's changed and grown as an artist. And then you get James Langford doing the other cast of Romeo, who has come up through our School of Nashville Ballet, has been a part of our Young Men's Scholarship Program that was inaugurated 5 years ago, so right when Romeo and Juliet was coming together. Now James is out there doing it. So you get this whole set of stories that are built into this organization. And, you know, Nashvillians get the chance to watch that happen during a ballet and they get to know the people. It's really exciting.
Oh, it is. What else is going on with Nashville Ballet? What is the latest thing that we may not know or get to read about?
Oof, that is a tough one. We are busy. We are busy, busy, busy. So we have lots of collaborations that we've been working on. We've got 5 short stories coming up in May as well, which is 4 world premieres by one by a former company artist, 3 current company artists, and then my first world premiere as artistic director. And it's going to be what we're calling 5 short stories, which means each one of them had the chance to either take a story that they knew or to make one up, and they get to create on their colleagues and their coworkers and share a little bit about themselves and how they feel like the art then is sort of transforming them and share their perspective on things. And then in July, we're going to bring back the Nashville Dance Festival, which we did last year, which was such a fun and exciting, wide-ranging show. So that'll be at the Fisher Center in Belmont. That's the most I'm going to say. We've got a season announcement coming up soon.
I'll be back. No.
Good.
Looking at STEM programs and athletics and the arts as a whole, tends to be arts kind of get pushed on the back burner. But how important is this program, the arts? How important is that to students who have dreams of doing this, what we're seeing behind us?
Well, I think when you take a look at STEM programs, they're essential.
100%.
To the programs that the schools have and for us as a society and a culture to advance, to move forward. I think one of the things that's missing inside of that is the A, and that the arts help people to bridge those gaps in their minds and in the way that they look at the world. I don't think they're necessarily two exclusive things. I actually think they're combined. When we talk about problem solving and creativity, you see classical music and ballet creating different, I want to say, pathways for understanding, so that people don't have to take those traditional methods of going, this is how we learn math and this is how we do it, because everyone learns differently, right? So when you think about that and you take a look at how much math is in that room right now, they're counting to eight, they're listening to Prokofiev, and they're hearing the different beats and tempos inside of that. When you think about approaching a science problem, you have to solve it creatively. You don't just get to approach it from an analytical perspective. You have to get into the data. You have to look at it and have to have curiosity. And curiosity is fostered through the arts. There's no separation in my mind. I would say that I'm incredibly fortunate to be CEO and artistic director. But those two things, the science and the math, going with the art, help to inform one another and make me stronger.
Speaking of your role, just one last personal question for you. Your background, how has that helped with your role that you're in now?
You know, there was this thing where I had as a dancer where all I was ever going to do was dance. So if you had asked me the STEAM question, I don't know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I would have said they're not interconnected at all. In fact, I was the guy who convinced his guidance counselor he didn't need to finish trigonometry. He could go to photography because he was going to be a professional dancer. That's what I did, and it worked really well. But the thing that sort of happened along the way is that I realized that the arts intersect with our community. They intersect with our culture, and they intersect with the idea of who and what we are. And so with that, my role in ballet has sort of grown and shifted from seeing us simply as an art form for the sake of entertainment, but one that I see as essential to building blocks of culture and things that I think excite businesses like Amazon and Oracle to come to Nashville. And I hope inspire our city leaders and government to take a look at what it is that they want and where they value things. And so when I go back to that STEAM question, everything is interconnected as part of our overall community. And that's what my background was in. So I did the arts. I had administration. But I went to the University of Texas at Austin not to pursue the arts. I felt like I kind of had that down, but wanted to focus on government, business, and communication so that we can see how those things all intersected so that I could share this message more readily and provide people the opportunity and insight that I think I was given sort of by chance when I stumbled into this and fell in love with movement and dance and music.
What a gift it is for the Nashville Ballet to have you. Thank you for that. And I kind of love that STEM, maybe changing it to STEAM, and that really is full steam ahead any direction that you want to go in life. Nick Mulliken, thank you so much. Artistic Director and CEO with the Nashville Ballet. I appreciate your time. Is there something I didn't ask that you would want to share?
You know, I always love that question from individuals because they usually have left something on the table. But I'm going to say at this moment, I feel like you kind of knocked it out of the park. You let me carry all of my talking points to their full end, but at the same time, allowed me to share my deep love and passion for this community. And so I hope people feel that and want to come and enjoy Nashville Ballet's performance of Romeo and Juliet, April 20th to 21st.
Yes, mark it on your calendar, 20th, 21st. Get your ticket now. Look online. You can find the price of those tickets. Stick with us right here. Mornings on Main Street. We'll be right back.
Complete Service Heat and Air is a trusted provider of top-notch heating and cooling solutions dedicated to ensuring optimal comfort and efficiency for residential and commercial spaces. Complete Service Heat and Air is located in White Bluff, Tennessee. We do service and repair on heating and air the right way 24/7. Service, call us at 615-797-3997. Serving Cheatham, Davidson, Dixon, Hickman, Humphreys, Montgomery, and Williamson counties. At Fred's Flooring, we're your source for quality flooring options. Our extensive experience and knowledge in the industry means we have the expertise to get the job done right. From carpet to tile, hardwood to laminate, and luxury vinyl, we have everything you need to find the perfect floor for your home. As the Main Street Award Favorite Floor Store winner for 2023, we know what it takes to satisfy our customers. And with our convenient financing options, you can get your dream floors now and pay over time. Visit fredsfloors.com or call us today.
We thrive under the lights. A city of performers. Putting on one heck of a show. Headlining night after night. Welcome to Smashville.
Welcome to Grin Doctors, your trusted pediatric dentistry and orthodontics practice. Achieve healthy, beautiful smiles with our expert care. At Grin Doctors, we are committed to your child's oral health and well-being. Trust Grin Doctors, your pediatric dental home for exceptional care. We go above and beyond to ensure the comfort and satisfaction of our young patients. Grin Doctors Kids Dental and Orthodontics is right down the street in Old Hickory, TN. Easy to get to and in your neighborhood.
Firefighters Association has installed this memorial at Fire Station 2 to remember the lives and contributions of fallen firefighters, notably Kenny Powell, who tragically lost his life in 1978, and Jason Dickey, who lost his in 2018. This memorial was made possible thanks to community collaboration. A formal unveiling ceremony is slated for later in the year. Read words from the Lawrenceburg Fire Chief by going to the Lawrence County Advocate.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before you leave us, I'd like to say be sure to check out the happenings in Middle Tennessee this weekend. There's a lot going on. We hope to see you back here next week. Have a great weekend.
I'm so excited about this new show.
Dino Trek is back again this year. It's bigger than we've ever had it before.
When they're about 5 months old, we'll start to see them sticking their head out of the pouch, or you might see a foot come out or a tail.
It's like an Airbnb for Joey's. Now, you're not going to see all three of them together because cats, in general, don't get along unless it's time to get along, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, we're two-thirds of the way there. It's animals, nature, and fun. That's what we're all about. But during that time, we hope that you also learn something, that you're inspired to want to learn something.
What's new at the zoo with Jim Bartu?
Catch At the Zoo exclusively on Main Street Media TV. Check our on-screen TV guide for days and times.